Well, all right, everybody, thanks for coming. For those that may not know, I'm Jeff, half of the Pinball Podcast. Don lives in Albuquerque, and he couldn't make it. It was up until about 2 weeks ago. He was kind of iffy about it, but he's got a lot going on, so we'll excuse him. Not going to be happy about it, but we'll excuse him. Just kind of an idea of who I am. I live in just outside of Salt Lake City, so not too far away. I've been collecting pinball machines for about 9 years now, and somehow my wife has let me continue with that. We've got two kids, and my older one, he enjoys the games. My younger one just likes the lights, so they're 4 and 1, so kind of that age. As far as the show goes, Don and I actually met at this show. He bought a Judge Dredd from someone in Salt Lake. And that guy in Salt Lake was not coming to the show. So he asked if I could bring the show out, the game out with me, to give to Don. And so I brought it out, gave it to Don. Turned out that, like, you know, this was before. Have you guys come to the show for a few years? Do you remember when it was at the, was it Fairgrounds or whatever? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to have all the line of trailers up there where we unloaded. And we showed up and, like, well, let's just get our trailers by each other and we'll swap the game. And there's, you know, 30 or 40 U-Hauls. Turns out they're right next to each other. And so that was kind of funny. And then we hung out for the show or whatever, talked, and he thought I was a dork. I thought he was a dork. And afterwards, we just kind of left. And it was a few months later, I was going down to Las Vegas for Classic Gaming Expo, and I dropped by the Pinball Hall of Fame. And I can't remember why I called him, but I just gave a quick phone call, and I was having a hard time hearing him. Man, it's loud where you're at. Yeah, it's loud where you're at. Turns out he was also down there at the Pinball Hall of Fame at the same time on the next row of machines. So that was kind of weird. And then the next day I saw him at the Classic Gaming Expo, which was also kind of weird. And at that point I said, all right, we probably should do something together. Like, the world is pushing us. Good thing he's Don, not Donna, or else that would have been bad for our marriage. But yeah, so like, he kept shoving us together. We decided to start the show. We're getting up to about 2.5 years now. It's been a lot of fun. And then there's been more coincidences. My cousin's his neighbor, turns out, I guess. I don't know. Even though he lives a state away. But we have a lot of fun, and our listeners are awesome. So you guys really kind of keep us going on it. So what I thought we'd do today is do some of our kind of standard things and then just give away some junk, because why not? But first of all, I kind of wanted to, before we get too silly, talk about, we lost Python Angelo recently. And for those who were kind of familiar with him, he's involved game design, art, and just about some of the stuff he was credited with. And I know he's involved in a lot more games than what he was actually credited. He was one of those guys that all of the big designers pinged stuff off of him. He's kind of just a real quirky, funny guy, and I think everyone really valued his opinion and just wanted him involved in what they were doing because he was hilarious. But just kind of the list of the games he's officially credited for. There's Comet, High Speed, Grand Lizard, and I believe there's Grand Lizard on the floor. Pinbot, which is here. It's in the pinball. It's in the tournament tent or room if you want to go get smacked around by it. Big Guns, Cyclone, Taxi. I don't think there's a Taxi here. I don't think so. I owned one of those, and I regret selling it. Jokers, Police Force, Bad Cats. I don't think it's here this year. Bad Cats is usually here. Bugs Bunny's Birthday Ball, Bride of Pinbot. I own that. I think there's a couple here. Hurricane, that's here. Fishtails, there's a couple here. Popeye, it's not here this year, but it was last year. Pinball Circus, that's only at the Pinball Hall of Fame. And Flipper Football. So he's involved in a lot of classics. But the thing about all of those games, they're really unique games. Like, when he got involved, you got something really different. I mean, High Speed, that's a Steve Ritchie game that really changed pinball. And that he has credits on that is a big deal. Pinbot, obviously one of those just landmark games. It really stinks losing him. And I was really proud of the pinball community, how they came out, supported, donated money to help him deal with his bills. At least, you know, up to the end, he kind of knew the industry that he dedicated his life to, that the people were there around him. So, gonna miss Python. If you've never listened to his top cast interview that he did with Clay Harrell, it's kind of something you have to do. And as well as his expo stuff that he did out of Chicago Expo. So, and then, yeah, check his games out. They're all okay. Well, Bugs Bunny's birthday ball, I think even he disowned that. But the other ones, yeah, go check them out. But, yeah, so Python Angelo. I was going to do, like, a featured five on him, but they're all so weird. I don't even know how you even lump five together with him. But I've owned at least five of his games, and I still own Brad Pinbotten. My wife would kill me if I got rid of that game. Luckily, I love it, so it's not an issue. But does anybody own any of those games, by any chance? What do you have?
Cyclone and Pinbot.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, I had a Hurricane. Cyclone's the better one, definitely there. But that's a real cool one. Anybody else? Any
games? Yeah, Cyclone and Taxi.
Okay. Yeah, the Taxi was kind of an interesting story. I saw it listed on a local classifieds. And it was listed for $300. I'm like, that can't be right. That can't be right. So I went up and left work right away and went and checked it out. And what had actually happened is this guy, yeah, he owned the Taxi, but he'd lost the glass. So there was that. But they drywalled the room that it was in, and they didn't move the pinball machine out. So when I got up there and looked at it, it was all white. Like, everything was white. I'm like, well, that's an issue. And then when you turn it on, it popped up with errors, and it was just an adjustment failure, which is usually just bad batteries. And I told the guy, I was like, look, I kind of feel bad when you get 300 for this. I bet if we just change the batteries, that would clean up the error. And then if you just want to, like, wipe it down, you could at least sell it for an extra 500, probably more. He's like, nah, you know, I appreciate your honesty, but it hasn't worked for a couple of years. I just kind of want to get rid of it at this point. So, yeah, he sold it for 300 to me. I took it home, wiped it down, put new batteries in it, and it played fine. And then I went through the whole teardown process on it. And it was even the bell worked, which a lot of times doesn't when you pick them up. It was going to be a keeper for me, but some guy out in California, when I posted my restore pictures on it, just lost his mind. He's like, I gotta have it. I want it. And I sold it to him. And I haven't been able to pick one up since, but I definitely want another Taxi. It's a great game. So moving on from Python, I've got a few questions, and I'm just going to kind of throw them out at random, and we'll just kind of go one by one. And then as we're going, as I'm just going to ask questions, if you guys just want to come up and grab some stuff, I don't have a ton of things here. I mean, shirts have more than enough. Feel free to take more than one shirt. We got these little, oh, perfect. It's just little mag lights. You can say RMPS 2014 and Pinball Podcast. These are the retro warm white LEDs. If you want to split them up between you guys, just pass them around back and forth as much as they'll go. If you've never seen the retro LEDs, they actually look pretty close to real bulbs. But they're nifties. So if you want to try them out, it's cool. So in fact, I'll just start those around. And then we're going to do a little brief interview here. So first on, I think the most important question of all, what's everybody's favorite game? We'll start this way. Do you have a favorite game? Maybe that's the question.
The one I'm playing right now?
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty much the one that started me, which was The Addams Family.
Okay. That's a great game. That's one of the first games that my wife really kind of got excited about. I always wanted one, and it was kind of hard to talk her into buying it. And then I took her to where we had it on our location, and she had the balls locked, and so the power is flashing. And the ball was coming straight down the play field. The power caught it and threw it straight into the scoop. And she thought that the game did that by design. And she's like, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen in a pinball game. I'm like, yeah, that's right, honey. Let's get one. And, yeah, we ended up getting one, and I still have mine. It's a great game.
Yeah, I like, you know, there's nothing on the show tag, you know, the research rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Milling at you. And
yep. If you put the crazy super bright LEDs in your topper, man, it actually looks like lightning when it's going off. So that's a great game. Search. Don't
really
say South Park.
I really don't have a favorite game.
Okay. What do you play most then?
Well, I think of it as I'm married, okay, so I'm dedicating my life. I'm dedicating to all my son.
That's
I
good.
Had a favorite pinball game. I really have to dedicate myself to that game, but there's so many of them, and I want to beat the lone wolf running around.
Okay.
So, but if I had one,
get here of all of them but one.
All of them but one. Yeah. I'd have to go and stay in Space Jam.
Okay, that's my favorite. That's great. Yeah, I've never owned a space shuttle. I've had a few deals fall through, sold out in front of me on them, but not willing to give up the hunt on that. So, cool. What's yours?
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Okay. Yeah, that's great, yeah.
Play a lot on location when I was going to college, maybe even missed a few classes.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
That was my holy grail pin when I first got into collecting.
I don't want to admit when I missed a lot of college game classes, but
I actually got it from Don.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think about half of America's got a game from Dom, the way he's been selling lately. So, no, that's a good machine then. So, yeah.
I'd say Iron Man.
Oh, man, I want Iron Man.
It's fast and basic.
The biggest shame in pinball is they didn't make or sell more Iron Man. So, that's a punishing game, but I love that game.
Earthshaker.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's a good pick. Did they make the mod to where you can mod the building thing in? Okay. I didn't know if it was modded or if it was just a prototype only thing, but that's a fun game.
Basement Arcade.
All right. Basement Arcade. Check it out.
Well, I think as other people have said, it's a hard question to answer. I would probably mention three games.
Okay.
I'm not that sophisticated about the entire universe, but I like my T2, which is a Steve Ritchie game.
Yes.
And I like my Scared Stiff, which is a Dennis Nordman game. Mm-hmm. And someday, I'd like to have an Addams Family, which you have got all right in. So that would be a nice collection for three great designers.
The Holy Pin game. Well, mine, it always, sometimes I think it changes, but in the end it comes back, and it's just still Twilight Zone. I think a lot of it has to do with memories tied to that game, and two, I just don't get sick of it.
So with the extra magnet?
I don't. I'm too much of a baby to drill my playfield. I would love to add that, though. I don't know. Something about that game, I just like. I mean, I love Lawler overall. But Twilight Zone, I kind of feel like that was his peak right there with Adam's Family. I just remember, I was only born in 81. So when that game came out, I was like 12. I remember my dad and my mom, they'd go shopping to the mall. There's a giant mall in Salt Lake City that's like, I don't know, it was like 8 levels or something like that. Or maybe it was less, I just remember it because I was a little kid. But there, in the very basement, which was like 2 levels underground, they had an arcade. And he dragged me along, and for a long time, he had a Twilight Zone location. People don't remember it. It was so great, but he was keyed into it, and I remember standing there just watching all the crazy things that game would do. And then when I started collecting, that's the second game I picked up. I just zeroed in on that. I got a Jurassic Park in some trade for some web marketing work I did, and then I was like, okay, happy with Twilight Zone. And luckily, back then, you could still get them shipped to your house for under $2,500, but it's not the case anymore. So, yeah, a lot has changed. All right, well, so not limiting to collecting, kind of like how long has everybody in pinball? Has it kind of been a for life thing, or has it been a recent obsession, or has it been one of those things you did as a kid, you got away from, and you came back, or what do you?
So for me, kind of like you're saying, I started playing when I was working at an Arby's in a mall.
Okay.
And that's where I started playing the Addams Family. And then I started looking for an Addams Family when I heard William shut down. And I ended up buying it from Dan, my Addams Family, from Dan. I always murder his last name, Gutches.
Gutches?
Gutches.
Yeah, local.
Local, and his prophetic words to me as I was stuffing into the back of my truck was, like potato chips, you can never buy just one.
That's what he is.
And that was back in like 2001, and now I've got a basement full of them, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so 12 years, 13 years now? Wow. That's a good time. How about you, Jim?
I played it when I was a kid. I used to play Cyclone a lot. Go to Rolling now, I play Cyclone. I got addicted to Ride the Ferris.
Everyone seems to kind of have that one like sound drop that they like when they hear it. It's like bam, you're 9 years old again.
So, but I got back into it about 4 years ago. Our video arcade classic game got me back into it.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, I kind of, when I got back into the whole stuff, 20-year-old machines in your basement thing, it started on the arcade side. Jurassic Park was the first pinball machine, but I grew up with the Daddy Simpsons in my house. It was one of those things, like, I didn't really play pinball as a kid, unless my dad was dragging me along. But yeah, my mom and dad bought a Simpsons, it wasn't new in box, but it was darn near close to that. I think it'd been around very short amount of time. I think that came out like 93 or 94 or something like that. No, maybe 91. I don't know. 90s, early 90s. They bought that, and so I grew up with that in the house. And then, yeah, I did the whole, you kind of forget about it when you get interested in girls in late high school and college. And then I kind of got back into it right after getting married. My wife didn't know that was coming, so that was a post-marriage obsession to get back to that, but she's been real cool about it. So,
I started with arcade games because the price point was lower and I could play more of them. And then, actually, I live in Albuquerque, and I had an open house, and I was talking to him, and he's like, I got an extra pinball for sale. And then,
extra?
Yeah, so that started the addiction, and cut to 9 machines later, then 2.5 years.
I'll talk about Albuquerque later. I have family down there. In fact, it seems like everybody knows my family, which kind of makes me nervous because we're all pretty weird. But yeah, got a lot of New Mexico connections. So how long ago was that?
2.5 years.
2.5 years? Okay. So you're on the fast track. You're getting to that double digit collection quickly.
I wish I could have hit that before pinflation.
Yeah,
I keep hearing about all that those golden days of 2500.
Yeah. My attack for Mars was $2,300 and a broken Star Wars arcade machine. I traded that plus $2,300, so it's changed. I don't know if it's ever going to go back, but...
Pinball is a more recent interest to me. Yeah, I did not play as a young person in high school and college, and I can't really say when the spark came, but I just started to get this idea in my head. It would be nice to have a game. And I fought it for a year, maybe a little bit longer, and then came to the show here. It's been several years ago. Picked up an EM, 1975 Wizard.
Oh, that's a great game.
And
excellent.
Then
I like that
76
one.
Kevin Fantastic.
That's good.
And then I added the T2. More recently, Scared Stiff, and then The Wizard of Oz from Creatures of Jedi.
Wow, so you got a good spread there.
And just the whole range of interests, you know, playing the games, maintaining the games, the artwork aspect, the understanding the electronics, the digital market, so just the whole spectrum of interests.
That's really cool. Yeah, I guess like I said, kind of you, once I got one, it was just kind of snowballed for me.
When I was growing up, my dad had picked up a 1949 Keeney Bambi from an auction. I think I was an infant, so I played that growing up. And then when I was old enough to ride my bike to the mall on my own, take all my paper route money there, play Cyclone, hit you in the face, and Laser War, and High Speed, those are just pretty much ingrained on your brain, get away from it, like he said, and then it was not until about 8 years ago that my oldest son was finally old enough to be able to play. I'm like, why don't I have a game? I had one growing up, but it was like the best thing ever. So I went hunting for a Cyclone. I was just stuck on that game.
That's the game.
I hadn't played hardly any 90s games, so I didn't know, you know, how great the D&D games could be. At the time, I probably could have got a pretty good deal on some of them.
Yeah. You
know, but hunting all over for a Cyclone, ended up finding one on Craigslist in Albuquerque. It's kind of snowballed from there.
It almost feels like Ben Collins and Anonymous.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It kind of is.
First step is to admit.
You know, for the Albuquerque folk, there is a home use only pinball floating around somewhere down there. I don't know who has it. My uncle had it. Then he had cancer, and after he passed away, because that was kind of what he loved, that thing. That, and he had a missile command. He loved it. My aunt just couldn't have it around anymore. It was just kind of hard. So she gave it to my other uncle. And my other uncle had it, and he kept it for a while. And then when he was doing some stuff with his business, he gave it as a gift to his accountant. And no one knows where it went from there, because I'd still, oh man, it's a home use only pinbot. It was amazing. And it's down there somewhere. I think it's, I swear it's being handed around on the underground trade, because no one knows where it's at. But if that pops up, first, feel free to try and buy it. But if you're not interested, I want to know, because plus it's got some special meaning. My
I grew up playing pinball. I was born in 79. During the 80s, there was always a kid or an arcade somewhere close to where I live. I'm from Kansas City. I don't think I lived here 2 years ago.
Oh,
I'd get
to the West?
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember they always had the newest Williams games. And to this day, that's like my sweet spot. I don't think it's like System of Love.
Yeah.
I really like System of Love. I guess like everybody else, it kind of fell away for a little while. And then with the event of what I called Pinball Hall of Fame for Xbox, all that stuff, it's now called Pinball Arcade or whatever, I got my son interested. He wanted to play a video. I thought, there's nothing simpler than, you know, two buttons to do flippers, you can play pinball. So I went out and I bought him all of those, and he really took us away. And then once, you know, once five or six, he said, you know, why don't you get a real pinball machine for the house? That started my mind. And I finally got one about a month and 5 weeks ago, before I left with him.
It's on the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool.
Well, everyone turns out we kind of have a legend here. So, how many times have you told your pinball story in front of people?
I have to have a night, 3 times.
Okay, well, do you want to hear your story real quick?
That's
right. Well, basically, how did your pinball obsession start?
Mine started with just before, very
just where,
I was dragging. I had a bad experience doing art for pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Let me back up a little bit. When I was a kid, I'd go in arcades very quickly, you know, high. And we had a park that's like around a rock ball area. But my mom would give us a quarter, and on Saturday morning, she turned me into two other loose and we had to the park. We'd go fishing. It was funny. Go to the arcade. And the pinball was illegal, or they didn't have it on the driveway. Or what else could you do? There's a lot of plate ball there. So I love the arcade, and I blew my money on the arcades. I didn't know what you want. I played shooting games from the girls there. And the girls.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of fun in there. But then professionally, I became an artist, and I did old Chicago paint machines at Valley.
The one here is nice.
Oh, yeah, I looked at it.
I was taking pictures of that. Yeah, with the LEDs and stuff in there?
Yeah,
I was taking pictures of it. It looks so nice.
Yeah, it's I can't believe I'm going to put some backlash.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dave Christensen, being a master, he being like a newbie as a professional. And I didn't measure up, but he's right. You know, he bringing all my artwork and he gave me new. So I had a bad.
No, I got into it, and then I made a lot of money in pinball. They gave me a lot of games.
Yeah.
And then I sold or traded them all, you know. But I am, it's funny, I'll be buying my AT, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get them in the Twilight Zone. Yeah. Or, we have a Funhouse right now.
Oh,
okay.
You just flash back with the whole parents video. For me, I just need those $5, kind of get lost. We could ride our bikes to the arcade. It was actually a card and comic shop in the back of our arcade machines. I mean, early 90s, everyone had a Street Fighter, a Mortal Kombat, Ninja Turtles and stuff, and that's kind of what was hot, and that kind of hurt pinball. But they had a couple of pinball machines. But when I got a little bit older, I used to ride the bus out to that same mall I mentioned earlier. Mall's been demolished now. They've rebuilt something else. But have you guys seen that coin pusher game? It's called Jungle Jive, where it's a ticket game now. You put the quarter at the top, it drops down, and there's kind of two levels. It pushes your quarter forward, and it falls, and it pushes them off right here, a bunch of tickets. Well, this arcade, and we got in trouble for it. It was set to tokens. You drop tokens in. But what it did instead of kicking out, well, it gave tickets, but it also gave you tokens. The tokens that fell, you got. So I get the $5, and I would say, okay, that's 20 tokens, or I can risk them in this game. And you'd always get one big chunk at one point. And they would always turn into, you know, 60, 70, 80 tokens. And, you know, I'd sit there forever. And like I said, I didn't play a whole lot of pinball. I did like the Twilight Zone because of my dad. But I do remember every once in a while, and you kind of get sick of the Street Fighter, or your fingers were sick of doing this for playing Ninja Turtles or whatever, X-Men. I'd go play some pinball, but yeah, that's kind of a thing as a kid that was mine, aside from the one that we owned. But. Well, cool. Has anyone ever take any sort of kind of crazy trip to get one? We won't go across everybody. If you have a fun story, all right, let's hear it.
We moved across the country to get one, so that's a little weird. Well, not quite that far. While I was hunting for a pinball, the first one, I was scouring Craigslist every day, like pretty much the whole Southeast. And I just happened to search in the Florida Panhandle like 2 minutes after I got to the haunted house. And he only wanted $150.
Oh, wow.
So I called, and he's like, yeah, come get it. And I said, now I'm in Tennessee. I can't come till tomorrow. Fine. And he's a super nice guy. Anyway, I went down and I got it. He's like, I don't think I knew what I had here. And I was like, why is that? He said, well, there's been about 50 calls since I talked to you. And people are offering more money and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, what do you want to do? And he said, well, I told you 150, so 150. And I'm really grateful for that. Because I had to drive 8 hours one way just to get it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But then on the drive home, a friend who owns an arcade in Nashville, he's a big game collector, and I know that he's known in some circles. I don't know if he's known in pinballs. Jason Wilson.
Yeah.
Okay. Jason knew that I had it. Don't tell him how much you paid for it. he offered me a lot more money for it, and I didn't even take it home. I drove straight to Jason.
This was quick kind of action.
That's the furthest that I've
ever gone. I bought Guns N' Roses here at the show 3 or 4 years ago from Jerry LaRush. I don't know if you guys know Jerry. And I put it in the back of the Yukon, and the U-Haul trailer was full. I think it cleared out all this pinball that day. But I got home and that Guns N' Roses. I was actually buying it for somebody else, but I thought, oh yeah, I'll set this up, play it for a while. It went straight out of the back of my truck into theirs, so it was kind of one of those little, that's fun. I guess the weirdest one, it was actually an arcade game, but my wife and I, we were going to go camping, and we were going to go camping down in southern Utah. I had all the red rock and sand dunes and such, and I really wanted a Spy Hunter arcade machine. And I saw one that was ending on eBay in Las Vegas the day we'd be coming home. Now, we're going to be out in the middle of nowhere. I had no way to check on it. So I just threw in a bid, and we went camping. I almost forgot about it. But that morning, we're getting ready to leave. I was like, we need to drive into St. George in southern Utah. And I went into a hotel and I was like, hey, can I use a computer? I just need to check something. Sure enough, I won the auction. I called the guy. And luckily, he was at home and he let me drive down an extra hour and a half, go pick it up, and we drove back. It was interesting, the little Tetris job we had to do to get the game in there with all our camping stuff and our dog. But we got it home. I still have that game. And the craziest thing about that game, it's the game I used to play growing up. I had no idea. There was a department store in Bountiful, Utah that had 6 arcade games up in the front. And every Saturday, we'd go play those. And I loved Spy Hunter. All my friends wanted to play other stuff. I played Spy Hunter. And one of my friends stuck a sticker on the side from this beauty supply store that they were getting out free stickers. For some reason, he wanted it. By the time they got the arcade, he didn't want it anymore, so he stuck it on the game. And then that department store closed, and I guess they optioned up the games. I had no idea. And anyway, I get this game home, I'm undoing it, and I see this sticker on it. Like, there's no way. So I look, and it's a local store. It's not a chain. And so I got back on the phone, called the guy. I had to know, where did you get this game? It's like, it's kind of funny. You being from Utah, I was up there for a weekend. There's a store closed, and had an auction, and I bought a Spy Hunter from them. And so it was the one I grew up playing, and it's back at my house now. Kind of weird how that stuff happens, but... All right, so is there anything anybody's looking to buy right now?
I want an Iron Man. So.
Wait, who's your favorite game of Iron Man?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I like it, but I don't have one.
I don't have the money for one, but anything anybody's looking to buy specifically at this point?
One back I'm looking for is a creature.
Creature? I just got one from, you probably know, in Albuquerque, I his name's Eddie.
Yeah, I think.
I bought his.
The Gold Ball.
Gold Ball? I don't know that game.
You know that? It's like the follow-up to Silver. Silver.
Really? Is it kind of limited? Why don't I know those games?
It's a valley tournament. So, the key thing to that game was that we got to a certain point, you just pulled out a Gold Ball, and you release a Gold Ball.
Cool.
And you play the Gold Ball, but the only one I know about is down in Manitou Springs, and every time I get the Gold Ball, it just stops.
Someone stole the Gold Ball.
Yeah. Just get the Gold Ball. Stop it. No, that's cool. Anybody else in Franklin?
Who done it?
Who done it? And we just have them so locally. All right. Brought it out.
Kind of on my wish list. Someday I'd like to have a big Indian.
Yeah.
So, a godly game, sort of 73, 75 time frame.
I'm actually Iron Man, as I just mentioned, but I'm looking for any just nice DM. That's a good deal. I have an LXO. I really like that, but I don't know, something else. Give a little more variety to kind of what I'm doing down there in my basement. But all right, kind of last big question I'll ask him. I have a few more, but just one word answer. What is the limiting factor of your collection? Spouse, space, money, or self-control? And I know none of you guys, it's the fourth one, so... I mean, you can claim it, but...
Money.
See, 10 years ago, that wasn't the issue. It was space, but...
Money, I'm probably space.
Probably so.
Spouse.
And that's totally understandable. Mm-hmm. No one's enjoying pinball with wives.
Money.
Spouse.
I mean, not spouse. Space.
Space.
Spouse is okay. Space is broken.
Can't say spouse because I have a Doctor Who in my dining room. She's okay with that.
Doctor Who's fine anyway.
That's true. I would have to say,
I guess time is an option too. Make time for that.
Space.
Okay. You just moved.
Yeah. Let's say they're like somebody's paying to move you, so it's getting thrown on the truck with the rest of the stuff. I don't know how much it would cost to ship one by itself across the country.
About $300, you're thinking.
That's not bad.
Could be as high as $500 today, it's a weird route, but.
I mean, it's going to go with the couch and everything else that's in my house. So,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't cost that much. Gosh, it's a toss up. It's spouse or money. I don't know.
It's good that we let those things like limit us, though, right?
Yeah.
For me, it's space.
Space.
I've filled one room, which probably to many people is not very much. And I think when I break that barrier, then it's probably all.
Yeah, then the other ones creeped in eventually. Yeah, my old house, it was definitely space, for sure. And one day I was measuring the rooms and stuff, and where I had all my games, it was a long bedroom. It was longer than this room, but there was a pretty sizable walk-in closet at the end. So one day I was like, hey, Tammy, what would you think if I knocked out that walk-in closet? It's kind of dumb the way it's set up. It didn't even go across the room the whole way. It was a square, and I don't know. I was like, when we sell the house, we could build it correctly, and I could raise the value, right? Like, you do all that little talking that you do, that you, all you want is just more space. And so she's like, I think I'd be kind of open to that, as long as you just, you know, we're careful, whatever. She left for the store. I went out in the garage, got a sledgehammer, and just started hitting stuff. She came back, and I'd already torn down that whole thing, and it was just dust, and there's, you know, all of my machines are covered up, and she's like, you were serious. I'm like, yeah, I hope you were serious about being okay with it. But she was. And when we sold the house, you could kind of tell where the old thing was, and the people who bought it, it's like, yeah, we wouldn't have wanted it like that. So I would guess I was right in the end. But anyway, yeah, like I said, it's good that we let those things limit us. I've known a few people who have gone a little bit crazy and kind of overstepped any of those limits, and it ruins the fun down the line. Because I think part of the fun of the hobby is having those trade-offs, like, all right, I really want this game. I don't have space for it. What goes? And I've made some bad calls in that situation. Made some good ones, letting things go. But it's good that we have those limiters.
Yeah, but then even it's like when you're buying a house, you're like, in this basement, how much can I fit down in this basement?
Yeah.
You start doing weird stuff in your doing that.
We did that. I was claiming space and we were looking at houses. Like, now, honey, this is a really long wall. I mean, we could put, I count up, I think we could get 9 games there. She's like, yeah, but should we? Yeah, I think we should. So our yard's half an acre, and the idea was that we'd eventually build an external building for it. Hasn't happened. Just bought more games with the money instead of building the building. But definitely, when we were house shopping, that was a big deal. Was that she wanted space for the kids? I wanted space for the kids, so it worked out. But I think for me, it's still space, unless we're talking about Iron Man, and then it's money. So, well, all right. So one of the things we do on the show, if you listen, is we do this like weird keep, flip, part out thing, where we name 3 games. You'd have to choose one you keep, one you flip, or one you turn into parts. I don't know if anybody has 3 they want to throw up. I think you might have some. And we can run through on those. Mine, because I'm frustrated at my performance in the tournament, I'll throw this out. I have a Tron, and it's kicking my butt here today. I have an AC/DC, and it's kicking my butt here today. And I had a Whitewater, and that's also just wrecking me. So those are my 3. And I'm not prepared to answer yet. So if anybody wants to take a stab at what you do with those 3, would you keep, flip, or part out? Tron, Whitewater, AC/DC. You can choose if it's pro or premium. I don't care. So, anybody want to try that one?
Just
throw it out.
What was the third one? Was it dry? AC/DC?
Whitewater.
I have to go against convention and say I have to part out the Whitewater. I'll keep the Tron. So,
flips AC/DC. Okay. Anybody else have a take on it?
I'm the opposite. Keep the Whitewater, sell the Tron, part of this.
Yeah. Is that Whitewater I can just steal?
Well,
machine?
Yeah. I think that's my next machine, so I'm jaded right now. I mean, I'm looking for a way.
Because, like, fixing a Whitewater
is
a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doing the fixing.
Yeah, in fact,
I'm just doing the enjoying.
I missed mine. I shouldn't let it go, and I had all the things for the restoration for it, and I just flinched at the idea of it. I was like, oh, I'm scared. And so I just sold my playfield, the decals, the ramps, and everything. But so I guess I can answer on that. I guess I would flip the Whitewater. That's what I did. I just feel like it'd be wrong to part it out. But so now I'd have to. I guess I'd sell the Tron and keep the ACDC. But I don't know. It's tough. I think all three great games. So. Anybody else have an opinion on the three? Or anyone have a three they want to throw out there?
All right, how about I have three games.
Okay.
Wizard of Oz, Medieval Madness, Star Trek Italy.
Wow.
It's hard to do new games, I guess, but it's what it is.
Well, I'll tell you. I'd keep... Wait, what did you say?
He said Medieval Madness, Oz, and Star Trek.
Jeez. Okay, I think I'd keep Medieval Madness. I have an Attack from Mars and Spider-Man. They're kind of similar, but I still think I'd keep the Medieval Madness. The running joke on the show is whether I'm going to get the Medieval Madness remake or not. I'm still leaning towards yes, but I'm not on the list anymore. Don, did you know that? So anyway, keep the Medieval Madness. I'd probably part the Star Trek. And only reason for that is, like I said, I do have Spider-Man. And flip the Waz, but that'd be tough because I want one. But I think that's how it'd go. I don't know. Anybody else on those three? That's hard.
I'm out of room, though. So
Wizard of Oz is technically the only one yet. They just don't have it yet. So, like, for them to say flip, that would not be easy. We missed you when you came in. What games do you have?
Those three?
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you act, that's a decision you actually may have to make one day. Except for
I'm facing it right now.
You wouldn't part one.
Arcade games. So I'm trying to get rid. I'll probably end up getting rid of them and replacing it with Pinball, which is not a real good move budget wise. But
yeah,
you know
all those like Evolution Advanced stickers you see, where it's like you've got the monkey, the ape, the Neanderthal, the man, and then at the end he's like riding a skateboard or something, or I don't know, fishing pole. See, mine is, I think you extend that out. You've got the monkey, the ape, the Neanderthal. Then you got the upright man. Then you have the hunched over man at the arcade game. Then you have the hunched over man at the pinball machine. Then you have the man standing in front of a row of pinball machines. And that's the actual evolution of man right there. I didn't make that a shirt instead of this silly thing. But, yeah, I think that's how it goes. If anyone has any more of that, we can do a couple more of those. But, all right, what do you got?
Black Knight. Flash Gordon. And lightning.
Wow. Well, I'm a major Black Knight fanboy, so I'd keep that. But you get tough on the next two. I think I'd flip the lightning and part out the Flash Gordon because everybody needs a non-blown out Flash Gordon to play field, right? it's like the hardest thing to find is a good play field on that game. But that's a tough one. I like the classics.
I'd keep the Flash Gordon. I would flip the Black Knight. Part out
the lighting.
I'm going to say one thing. I'd play Flash Gordon a little better. I can actually get it up to the upper playfield.
It's a good game. That's one of those sold out from under me machines where I went out to a yard sale. And they had it listed on the list of things. I showed up and I didn't see it. And they're like, oh, it's in the storage shed. And we just want it gone, $200. Like, really? I don't care what it looks like. I want it. They showed me pictures on a phone. It looked great. And then said, we just want to finish the yard sale and we'll take you over there. Like, that's fine. And I drove around the corner, took a nap in my car, came back, and they said, oh, we sold it to someone for $250. Yeah, for $50 more. I would have doubled it, but oh, well. So I didn't have my chance to flip apart it or keep it, unfortunately. Any more? Move on. So I was going to... Oh, go ahead.
One more?
All
right. Stingray. Kiss. Or Lucky Seven.
What was it first one?
Stingray.
I
think I should keep the Lucky Seven. I just love how it looks. Wow. That's one more I just like it to look at. I don't know if it's my favorite player of the three. I probably like Kiss the most. But I'd still probably part the Kiss and flip the Stingray. That's the worst, probably parting the Stingray. I don't know. What's your take on that?
I would keep the Kiss.
Okay.
I would flip the Stingray and part out the Kiss.
Yeah. Some people just want to hang up the art, probably.
Anybody else have a pick on those three? That's a tough one, too, I think.
When you go, when you pull classics, there's like this guilt factor, right? Like you feel bad about it. You know you're not really doing anything, just to say you would. But all right, well, one thing I wanted to ask you guys about, because this is kind of like the weird thing is like everyone's kind of mod crazy right now. I have my fair share of mods on my machines. You know, we got the vendors out there with the mods, but just kind of overall, what do you guys feel about them? Like, or what's your approach to them? Are you kind of like, if there's a mod, I want it, or do you have like a some weird mod philosophy? Like, my personal one is mostly I won't do it just for like flash or bleeding factor. I usually do things like kind of clarify shots. Like on my Twilight Zone, I got the camera because when it say shoot the camera, people ask me, well, where's the camera? Well, with that mod, you can't miss it because it blinds you as it flashes when it starts going. Or, like, see, like the Town Square, I got the little light on that game because it looks a little bit more like the Town Square. My exception is Tron. I got the little arcade mod on that. I'm going to get the light and ramps. And that has nothing to do with clarifying shots. So, but generally, I usually kind of go after, like, you know, the stickers that go on the targets to make it easier to know what you're shooting for. Or if it's a very specific toy over a specific shot, that's where I go. I don't know if that's me being cheap and I want a reason why I don't have mods in my machines, but what do you guys feel about them overall? Like, do you like the mods? Is there a particular mod that you just think's crazy awesome, like the lighted Tron ramps? Like, to me, that's like probably the coolest mod we've ever seen. I mean, it's amazing what they did on that. So, what do you think?
I think sometimes, like, stuff I don't like, and this is just when it is Moonlight's Hunger Games games.
The undercap lights?
Undercap lights. I like stuff that, like you're saying, add some semi-functionality to the game. You know, to make it so that you understand the game a little bit more. So that's what I'm at. Or add, you know, a little bit more understanding to the game. Because, you know, the guys who made the games, part of the fun of the game is figuring out what the game is trying
to
tell you.
Yeah.
So
they designed around that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a good point. Well, now you shot holes for mine.
My weird little philosophy is that I always feel like it's okay if it's something that the designer pretty clearly would have done if they had the budget.
Okay.
If it's just a budget limitation, so sometimes they'll tell you. Like,
yeah, that's kind of why I asked about
this.
The third
okay.
magnet.
Yeah.
That's why I asked about the third magnet. And I've got the playfield that's got, I bought the repro playfield that's got
the whole
third magnet, the whole for the third magnet, just because I wanted to.
Yeah, I'd love to do it one day. I'm not terrible with my hands and stuff like that. I just like in my nightmares see me start drilling, it skips on me or something, or I'm like, oh man. But it would be really cool to have that on Twilight Zone. Okay, well, let me shift it a little bit. What about art mods? What do you think about those? In fact, that's a good question for you. What about, have you seen like they mod playfields to add like Unity or Shadows one where, yeah, like let's get that translight changed, right? What do you feel about that?
I don't like that. But here's what I feel about it. You know, it's your game. You can do whatever you want, but I think you owe it to the game to say this goes for the labs to keep everything safe or keep it so it can go in the next fire. My neighbor does that. He's bought a couple of my games. He mods them up, but I love a lot of the stuff he does. He saves everything so it can come back to the
GI later. Yeah, I have a box that for each game, like if I do any sort of, I will only do non-reversible mods. I mean, only do reversible mods. Wow. And then I do save everything. And usually when I sell it, I'll ask them like, hey, it's got this or that on it. Do you want it original or do you want it with the way it is now? Most people take it with the mod intact, but I've had a few people roll some mods back before they bought it. So yeah, for me, for the art ones, I'm fine if they're generating the art thing to put on it. I kind of wince a little bit when they're actually taking an existing like playfield and changing the art on that and then re-clearing it. It's like, man, that's a limited resource. Like, I don't know.
Slow Melody would be the ultimate mod.
Yeah. That's a gorgeous game, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There was also, didn't they take China to mod it to make it into
to the Matrix?
Matrix.
Yeah, and it's impressive what they did there. And the same sort of thing, like, I'm happy that exists, but it's like, or they're doing a Dolly Parton making Las Vegas out of it. Really cool. And I love that they're doing that in the hobby, but I kind of feel torn. It's like, there's never going to be more of those, and for every new mod, we lose one more of those. And there were a lot of people put a lot of man hours of blood, sweat, and tears into those games, and it's not like a movie where they can make a new remastered printing or something. It's technically, it can, I mean, Big Bang Bar or whatever, thing like that, but those real old ones, they're really solid state, it's basically pre-D&D games, they're not going to get rid of it. It's nice we have like classic playfield reproductions. They do a good job putting out new playfields and stuff. But there's something about those original ones that are aged in a way that they have a lot of charm to them. So I don't know. I don't know exactly how I feel about it. I think with you, I don't want to tell anybody what to do with their game. But personally, I cringe a little bit at some of the non-reversible mods. So, and art
what
stuff.
What if he made a new Medieval Madness backlash? He made it.
That's awesome,
that's
because
right?
Cause they're not taking the original one. Well, at least they make repro Medieval Madness translates, but
like alternate translate by the
technically it's illegal to make new Addams Family ones, right? Because the estate hasn't signed off on that. So say if you were taking, I don't know why you would, but this is just the example, someone was adding to the translate, like some character or something, it's like, send it to me, I'll paint it on, send it back. Like, I wouldn't tell anybody that can't do that, but it would hurt, because it's like, wow, man. And the art on Adam's Family is fantastic. So, but that's kind of what I mean on that. But I think new alternate translates and stuff, they're cool. There's some that obviously wouldn't fly in my home, like the Baywatch one that's out there. yeah, that's cool, because you're not destroying anything to create that. We don't have a ton of time left, so I just want to ask a few things more about the show. Like, I've been coming for years. I love this show. There's shows that have greater numbers of games or, you know, maybe some more rarities and things like that. Like, you go down to California Extreme, you can play Kingpin, you can play Big Bang Bar and some weird things like that. But, like, one thing you guys, if you're local here, have and you're going to find out is the pinball community here is amazing. Like, I'm so jealous of it. Like, we got great pinball guys in Salt Lake City. I'll admit that for sure. But, like, I swear I'm closer to the pinball guys here than I am in Salt Lake City, and I only see them once a year. But you show up, and you just pick off from the last conversation you had with everybody here. So this is a show I definitely will come back to every year. I mean, it's just a great show. And so I just kind of want to ask a few things about the show. You guys have been walking around. If you have something on the floor that's kind of jumped out to you, like your favorite thing you've seen, like favorite game or... I don't know, what it could be a mod, whatever. What's just the favorite thing you've seen this weekend?
I saw a game that I forgot about that I used to play back in junior high out on the floor of the Laser War.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that one I own it in 20 years, and I saw it out there and started playing it. It's a simple game, but it's really fun. Maybe a little bright.
Yeah, like last year they had Cyclops. Never played it before? That's a dang cool game. But that was probably my favorite last year just for that reason, but it's a good one.
Fleet.
Okay.
1933 game.
Yeah, you don't see it right off.
Just plunge it. Try and make the shots. The whole concept is, especially when you get the action and it activates the balls that are already trapped in the canvas.
Cool.
Solar Bar.
All right.
The guy back in Tennessee who has one that I was begging to sell me. And he never went. I've never actually played it. I've just seen it on YouTube videos. But getting to play it was the highlight of this.
That's cool. Yeah, sometimes one game makes the entire entrance and pain to get here worth it if you're not local. If anyone else had anything.
I did like the fact that they had the mechanics of pinball.
That was really neat.
Yeah.
That's new this year. So. Yeah, that's cool. I noticed the kids kind of gravitating around it. That's a really smart idea. For me this year, it's a real weird pick, but that Cherry Bell that's in the EM room, that thing looks amazing. I was taking all sorts of pictures of that. And it was funny because we talked about that on the show a couple months ago. I don't remember why it just came up. But that thing is flawless. I wish I had a Purcell tag on it because I'd find a way to get that home, but
I think that's why they didn't allow the pinball on my little.
Yeah, that was a little risque.
I was looking at it. I think that's right part of the video. They really did a good job of concealing the pimples and things. It looks like they're naked.
Yeah, it's a man. Oh, that thing. Either it's been sitting in like temperature controlled storage forever, or it's just super well restored. That give you a chance to go check that out. There's also that Sky Jump that's been in the tournament a couple times. That's across from it. That's a really fun EM game. That one plays real fast. It's fun too. Anybody else have a game that's kind of jumped out of it? Has everyone played Mustang? What do you think? That was all right. I just think it needs rules.
For me, the rules are just so
yeah. Easy. It needs some rule breaking, huh? But I like the. There's a few things I really like on that machine. I like the captive ball that you hit it and it makes the spin out thing. I was kind of confused what was going up on top, but I like that it's not a totally standard. I like that it's a new playfield. We'll see. Rules are going to define that game going forward, but. It's a work in progress.
I like the ball that added it the last time.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
It seems like way too much of the playfield is taken up by that, by bumpers, those in lanes, and that gears thing. There's just nothing that interesting about any of that.
Yeah.
It's just sort of drop targets, bumpers. What's interesting about any of that? It takes up that much of the playfield.
It dominates a lot of it. One of the things I really like that they're already doing on the rules is the multi-ball stuff. Have you guys seen that you can... With the Gears multi-ball, it can either be a 3, 4, 5, or 6 ball multi-ball. And you choose when you want to start the multi-ball. So when you get it all lit up, ready to go, you can take it at 3 ball, or you can keep building to where it's going to be a 4 ball, 5 ball. So it's kind of a risk-reward thing. It's a cool idea. I hope that translates into more games, because that's really smart. But, yeah, that one's, I think, one of those, it could go either way. If it gets some good rules, it could be great. If it doesn't, it's going to have its, like, real hardcore fans and... Might be kind of another Iron Man situation where maybe it doesn't get appreciated for a while. Or it could be more like Big Buck Hunter and kind of fade away. We'll see. I don't know. I have a lot of faith in what they've been doing with rules lately. I think it'll turn out to be a good game. The Star Trek the next to it, that's fun. It's like Spider-Man on speed. It's fast. I was really enjoying that. But so yeah, I think that's kind of all we've got. Unless anybody just wants to ask any questions or curious about anything, I was checking, it doesn't look like I was going to be able to dial it down, so it's a little bit of a bummer, but thanks for coming. We've got some shirts up here, you guys can kind of paw through them. Now, I have to admit, I made these in my parents' kitchen. My mom has one of those do-it-yourself screen printer things, and I was making the screens. Just a little drawing I did with my brother. The shirts vary wildly in size, so you pick them up, hold them up. Feel free to take one for someone else, it's fine. But yeah, thanks for coming today. It was a lot of fun. We didn't know we were going to be doing this, and then once we found out, we thought we'd both be here, and we weren't. But for those of you guys who listen to the show, we like really appreciate it. It started off bumpy. It's still bumpy, but it's fun. So I don't know if anybody has anything that you want to bring up or go over.
It's just fun to hear your show.
Thanks.
Great time filler for commutes. And
yeah, they're long.
Although I do like the idea of the shorter shows that you guys are.
Yeah, I think we're going to go with that.
I think that makes sense.
Who's in the final four?
Okay, well, this will go live after I announce it, so I can tell you guys. What do you think? AC/DC or Attack from Mars? Who do you guys think?
Attack from Mars.
Yeah. Attack from Mars won. It was super close. There was, in the finals, a little over 100 votes that came through. And Attack from Mars won by 3 votes. So it was the closest we've ever had. I don't have the results of who won the bracket stuff yet. But we'll have that. We'll have that soon. Did any of you guys submit a bracket? Yeah, so.
I was blessed to win when I had Cactus King.
I couldn't believe it went down as early as it did. Who did you have for your winner?
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. And that made it. Who did it lose to? It lost to. Lost someone
it
I didn't
win. It lost badly.
No, the round it lost, it was close. So, but yeah. So if those that weren't sure how we do that, every March we do the March Pin Madness. And we set up a pairing of 64 games in a bracket. Before we start voting, everybody submits their bracket to us, and then we let everybody vote. Now, obviously, you're going to vote the way your bracket goes, but the problem is you're going to have another 100 people joining in and voting too, and. Goes throughout March and mid-April, and then at the end, we go back and add up everybody's score. Most accurate bracket wins some gift certificates. We usually do the top three, and then we randomly draw two. So we usually have about 5 winners on that. It's a lot of fun. counting up the brackets. Every year I'm like, yeah, this year I'm going to be smart and I'm going to stay up on it. And each round I'm going to get my running totals of people a minute, and then I don't. And so I've got about a 6 or 7 hour bracket counting session ahead of me. But maybe I'll do that tonight. But anyway, yeah, that was great. So, yeah, Attack from Mars is our winner. So it'll be retired. Make sure it won't be in the mix. I didn't expect ACDC to make the finals, but I think that was kind of a little bit of a magical run. I don't know that it'll be back next year, but maybe. So anyway, that's all I've got, unless you guys have anything else. But yeah, enjoy the show, and thanks for coming.